Gabe, who's this podcast brought to you by? And be sure you say the proper one first.
Well, it's brought to you by Apex Pro.
Oh, yeah,
I'm,
why?
Sporting the latest of Apex Pro fashions and, today, actually.
And we have an Apex Pro person here with us.
He's quite literally an Apex Pro.
He is. I am an Apex amateur, but Andrew Raines is an Apex Pro. I bet you Bill Griffin apexes the shit out of things versus me. I'm not really good
at driving.
Bill drives every day now. He's at a racetrack every 48 hours.
Every 48 hours on a different track.
Probably that's
on
average. Unbelievable.
I'll bet you on average, he's actually at a track about 60 or 52% of the time. It's got
to
be more than
that. Yeah, it's got to be a lot because when you consider the travel time getting to the track and then at the track, because a lot of the events are not just a two-day event, but a four-day event.
Yeah, you're doing extreme experience stuff.
Yeah. So the extreme stuff, by the time I get there and stuff, it's a 5 or 6 days out of the week.
Do you travel by car to those events?
Depends. Yeah, sometimes I'll carpool with other instructors. So if we're going from Chicago area to M1, we'll drive. Pit race, that's about as far as we'll drive, but then fly. And then usually then it's a carpool situation once you get to the
event.
That's
a lot of miles on your personal vehicle.
Yeah, but we'll trade off. Okay. You know, one event I'll drive, another event Jason will drive. So
yeah, you got a lot of local buddies.
Yeah, Jason.
You've been on like NOLA and all over too, right?
Yeah, you've been doing extreme experience like all over the country, right?
Yeah. So years in the past, you know, I was just doing Chicago area ones, just to kind of get a feel for it. But really like the program, like the people. I mean, it's professional. I mean, it's like top notch from front of house to reservations to the technicians that work on the cars to the cars themselves to the owners. I couldn't be more proud to say, you know, I work for Extreme Experience.
I feel like companies like this have existed for a while.
Not that long.
But they come and go.
Yeah.
And it seems like Extreme Experience has been around a little bit.
They're Chicago based. And John, who's working with us this weekend, John Raymond, he's one of like the guys that
he's one of the full time employees.
He like tries to make the event happen. Like that's his job.
Yep.
And the story he rode back with me from Colorado. And the stories, like the horrors they go through and like the lengths they go through to like make these events happen, like they're insane.
We haven't had John on the show before.
No,
let's change that.
That'd be a good idea.
Yeah,
he started karting when he was 5. He's done racing a long time. But
and now Extreme is branching out into driving experiences on roads.
Really?
Oh, cool. Oh, really? You're doing street drives?
Yeah, so they're going to do a drive, a tour, you know, all planned out, all catered, everything taken care of.
That's a freaking great idea, though.
Yeah, so you'll start seeing some stuff on social media and stuff like that.
Go hit, like, cool roads and stuff.
Yeah, so they've already been asking us drivers, you know, what we would recommend as far as a route to drive.
And have you done a street drive, like, as a lead before?
No.
Oh, man. Get ready.
Yeah, right?
I've done...
Yeah, I'm not sure how that's going to work. You know, it's not like in the right seat where you're yelling at it and push on the brake pedal harder.
Different deal. I've probably done like 200 days of lead follow on the racetrack. The one lead follow street drive I've done, most stressful experience.
Okay, well, then I need to talk to you after this.
So Ashley and I used to do, and we still like doing it, we did with Rally North America.
Yeah, road rally stuff, right?
Road rally stuff. Yeah. And it's not quite like...
I forgot you did that. We haven't talked about that in a while.
Gumballs and stuff. It's not that crazy. Yep. Rally North America is a charity event, and it's like a road rally scavenger hunt type, kind of like Chop Top is.
Right.
It's advantageous to drive fast so that you can see more things.
Right.
But they do a really good job in terms of like just finding sites that you should see.
Yeah.
Like in Southeast Ohio, like the Mothman Museum is a place that I never thought I would go in my life. The Mothman statue is awesome.
Mothman Museum?
Yeah.
I don't even want to really know what that's about.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't, but
you guys, everybody should look up the Mothman Museum and the Mothman statue.
Right. Yeah. High reviews.
It's like
sick AF, Abe Schmucker.
There's just dozens of places like that on the road trip that you would just never go to.
Oh, sure.
But they kind of like point you that way.
Right.
So
it's cool.
Oh, yeah.
You're looking at the Mothman statue now, aren't you?
Yeah, that's a.
It's like.
It's
like
big,
that.
Too.
What's up with it? What's this for?
I don't know.
Apparently, the bridge crossing the, I think it's Ohio River.
Okay.
is like haunted or something by the Mothman.
Of course.
That is a tribute statue to the Mothman.
Oh, okay.
That statue is probably like 10 feet tall.
Yeah, he seems cool. Nice looking guy.
Yeah.
Seems fun.
Good abs.
So great, Ashley great and I used to do ripped. That. And like, Ashley, when we first went, Ashley, I didn't know her as a really competitive person.
Right.
And she was like, you're not going to drive fast on this trip. And like, we're here to have a good time. And the second that we left the starting line, she turned into a different animal.
Yeah.
And she was like, do you want to win or not?
Come on, let's go.
Get your shit in line.
I could see her doing that. 100%, man.
And so like, you know, instances, if we're at a stoplight and things are waiting, like always cut through the gas station. You take the rally line. No way, really? She's an animal.
Damn.
And like,
my wife is just like that. That's hilarious.
That's awesome.
She's like, you meet her and she's like the sweetest, calmest. Like,
I can picture her being like Southern Belle, perfect manners. Yeah,
has a Southern accent, you know, and then all of a sudden someone cuts her off in traffic. She's like, son of a bitch! Foot to the floor. You know, it's like...
Lays on the horn, Chicago style.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah,
that's awesome. I would not have pictured Ashley doing that, but now that you say that, I can totally picture Ashley doing that.
She's a tough chick, man.
Yeah. Oh, she's... Absolutely. Ashley's kind of a bad little girl, but...
Yeah, she should be rolling up here before too long, I think. Yeah. She dropped Sloan at Ashley's parents' house. This will be our first weekend away.
Ever?
Yeah.
Oh, man. This must be rocking, dude.
Sloan's 15.
Camper's going to be rocking.
Yeah, no dogs either.
No dogs.
Oh, no dogs?
Wow. No, the dogs are at the grandparents' too.
Vacation.
It's like a vacation.
Wow. All three animals are dropped off.
And I got to the track yesterday. I've been hanging out, working. I'm going to work tomorrow.
Right.
And then I'm off.
Yeah, we're going to go hot at 4 p.m. tomorrow. So
I like this schedule.
22 hours until we got to be doing a driver's meeting.
Yeah. This is the earliest I've ever been to a Midwest event for sure.
Yeah. A couple years ago.
Normally it's trying to like shoehorn my stupid RV into a spot.
Right.
And you can't shoehorn this into anything.
No, your old one, you could kind of like wiggle it in. Not this one.
This is a different deal.
It's a little big, man.
And, you establish the paddock depending on where you park as well.
Yeah, Abe literally established his dominance in the paddock.
Yeah.
Well, and I haven't put the awning out yet because I don't know who's parking next to me.
Yeah, he can only be so wide.
You bet that as soon as I know, it's coming out.
Yeah. Watch it be.
Hey,
like,
would you mind parking back just a little bit so I can... pop this out.
Yeah. Hey, move over a little bit.
Yeah. Well, so things no one will say.
So this can't be verified because it's just me saying it and there's no evidence now. Right. There were flags, little tiny flags in the grass to tell the paint marker guy to where to paint the lines.
Yeah.
And my slide was definitely over that flag marker.
Right.
Not anymore. The guy just painted the lines outside of where I was.
Oh, really? Nice. So you came just early enough, huh?
Yeah, so I'm
Abe's got the only 11-foot wide spot. Yeah.
So the lines are like the end zone on a football field. Yeah. It's like you just have to cross the plane. And
exactly.
Well,
I'm good now. That. So the guy next to me, or gal.
We stepped it up a little bit with the paint guy. The paint guy, he's got, in years past, it's been me walking it with like a paint marker, you know, like a rattle can, the upside down one. So you got to do it twice to make it 3 inches wide.
Yeah.
This dude had like a generator and like a an airless sprayer, and it's
that you'd use for like painting a house.
Yeah, it's mounted the golf cart, and he's just driving, painting the line.
It looks impressive.
It looks really good. Yeah. And it's 4 inches wide, and it's white as can be. You can't miss the line.
And there's in the back, there's just like a 5 gallon bucket of paint.
Yeah,
it sounds like a house painting gun.
Yeah. It's an airless sprayer. Yeah,
yeah.
It's really cool because it's like driving in here, you see all the lines painted nice and neat, and it's like, you know, if you play like stick and ball sports, when you walk out onto the freshly painted field for the first time, you're like,
I'm pretty impressed with, I mean, we kind of stepped up some of the parking garbage and prep game. And that's this one crew that we hired to do like the layout like this, basically like Charlie and I did the layout last couple years and it works. But we would do like a 4 foot line. And so we hired this crew that like does this for festivals. And like so they had the golf cart to paint the lines, and they painted the lines, and they painted them all in the campground.
I was going to ask you if they also painted the other side too, campground area.
Like pretty reasonable, and they're also doing the full. They have 20 people, and they're doing like the garbage cleanup. And
oh man,
they're checking on everything the entire time.
I think people think that GridLife is this like massive revenue machine.
Oh, it's we're absolutely not at broke even yet for this weekend.
Yeah, like, we are like doing a festival like this
Wednesday before, and we're like, man, sure hope some more people buy some tickets.
It's not like the Fire Festival at all, though, right? Totally different scenario.
I think all
we're intending to deliver above and beyond.
Right, it's going to actually happen.
Yeah, we're crossing our fingers that tomorrow. The weather looks great, though. So, like, typically we get a decent walk up and a decent like day of purchase online. So if we get what we have historically got, we'll be right where we need to be. Like, it'll be just about perfect. And for like a COVID pandemic year, we're feeling pretty bad. So
I guess people that think it's a revenue generating machine don't understand like the music festival model. Like, you're trying to do something a lot greater than yourself. Yeah. It's a bigger deal than just making
you don't do it for tons of cash.
Well, and it's like it's a literal gamble as well.
Whereas every time
your production costs are hundreds of thousands of dollars, and you just hope
tons
that enough people show up.
Yeah, like the production cost for this event, like full disclosure, is typically pushing $500,000. Like, it costs us $500,000 to turn this event on.
Yeah, that's
to
so
do
impressive.
It the way we want to do it. It's $500,000, so it's a small music festival, but like that's paying people, it's paying track rental. And the track rental, like, we're renting the place for 4, 5, 6 days sometimes.
Yep,
maybe not the racetrack, but like they can't do anything else, so we got to pay it. It's a lot of money. Like, it's a ton of money. And so everybody thinks, oh, this is cash cow. No, like, these events, like, you cross your fingers and hope they break even. And if they break even and they're rad events, you get these partners that will want to pay you enough that you can take a salary and pay your rent. Like, that's how the business model works. And, like, maybe it works. And then maybe there's
rad
pandemic.
Vendors out there.
Right.
Maybe there's a pandemic and all the partners pull out for 6 months and you got to like cross your fingers and hope it works still. So, and it did barely.
The side effect of not thinking about like profit first, though, is that you create something that's like genuine that people care about. Yeah. Think about what it would cost somebody to try to replicate GridLife.
So hard.
It's not possible.
So Chris and I were talking about this on the way back from Connecticut the other day. We're driving in my crappy new Honda Fit that I bought.
Sweet.
Congratulations. It's pretty rad. I'm excited about it. And we were talking about money, and I'm like, man, how are we, like, it never actually works. Like, we're never going to make any money. And he's like, no, we got to spend all the money. I was like, yeah, I know. Like, it gets frustrating. And he's like, every penny we take in, if we try to make the event better, like, maybe someday it'll pay off. I'm like, yeah, I know. It just kind of sucks.
It's always that someday.
Like, I met a guy locally at a startup event in Birmingham because we're kind of plugged into the local like startup community, and he sold a company called Ticket Biscuit.
Yeah,
I don't know if anyone's heard. They did like online ticket sales back when that was like a new thing. And I asked him like, "Hey, is somebody who's got a company that would one day love to scale it and sell it, or scale it and do something really meaningful to a lot of people and add value to a lot of people? Like, what's your biggest advice?" And he's like, "Well, if your goal is to sell the company, then you need to treat cash like it's gas in your car. You're gonna run out. Keep fundraising every single day." And it like took me so off guard. He was like, "You literally want to outspend everybody that you're competing against." Right. I was like, "What do you mean?" Very real advice.
It makes sense. Yeah, that's not advice you'd expect to get.
Not at all.
But it makes sense. I mean, every year, like December 25, like it's like, hope those credit cards still work. You know, like, you're just never. There's never enough. You know. Because you're always trying to build it better and better and better, and you reinvest and you reinvest and reinvest. Like, it's still part of the reason that like I have a day job is because like I don't trust GridLife to be my day job yet. You know, like it's a big company, but like we just want to keep building.
So. Well, but like it is a big company. That's true. Just in terms of like.
Not in terms of people.
Cash flows like in
what
and
it
out.
Does. Yeah. A lot of it is weekend only employees and stuff.
But like
that,
the number of full time staff at GridLife is
four. Yeah.
Is it four?
Well, if you include me, which technically I guess I'm full time, but like I don't work full time. But like we count me as a full time employee, so it's five. So
it's you and
me,
Chris,
Sean, Kyle, Trisha, and Chris.
Trisha, okay. Yep.
Trisha is the slayer of all slayers. I want to hire 10 more Trishas. She is the best. She's made this, like in the past 6 months, she's made this to where like, I'm like, yeah, I think we can do this. as long as I got a couple of Tricias.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's and then we've got the partnership team, which works on commission. They're basically full time with us, but they take what they eat, you know. And so if they don't take anything, they don't get to eat anything either. But and that's the reason that we exist, is selling partnerships and doing a good job with it and fulfillment and trying to bring ROI to companies and all that. So
yeah. And that podcast money.
Yeah, man, that's
got that podcast.
Dude,
money,
the so. Tens and tens of dollars. Just tens and tens
and
dollars.
Tens of dollars. Yeah.
Tens of dollars.
Although, like, I mean, realistically, like the podcast, like Slip Angle has actually probably brought a lot more to Grid Life than Grid Life has brought to Slip Angle. Grid Life has provided Slip Angle a lot of content, but like multiple actual partners for Grid Life came because like people in the marketing side listened to Slip Angle. Like, I'm dead serious.
100%.
They're here this weekend.
They are here this weekend. Multiples of them, and they are title sponsors, so which is very, very cool. It makes me not want to quit Slip Angle.
Well, yeah. My thought about Slip Angle was you and I talk almost every day anyway.
About something.
And so most of the time it's about buses, to be honest.
Once in a while, we should probably record it, right?
Yeah, so. We should just record it. Yeah. Got to fix that leak in my bedroom.
Damn, man.
Right there.
Gotta condition those seals, dude.
Yeah, I learned yesterday because it rained hard.
Warning, here comes the RV talk.
Here comes some RV talk. Right. It rained hard yesterday.
Drop out
yesterday.
Now if you don't want to hear about
and
RVs.
And I assumed that it did not leak when the RV was closed up. I
that assumption?
No, I mean, it drips back there just enough for me to find a leak, which is great because it's the same leak.
Yeah, so you actually kind of found where it was coming from now.
Yeah, so I don't know yet what causes it on the outside. I have a good idea,
right?
But like, I'm skeptical that that's the reason.
I think if you condition the seals with that stuff that I sent you a picture of, I think that's gonna help a lot.
Probably
because those things are retracted and dried out. I think that's gonna be a big help.
Yep, just massage some oil into.
Yeah, man,
into
you gotta rub them, dude. Just rub those seals. Rub them in, dude.
You know, I think I missed an opportunity. I probably should have started like a gutter and like a ceiling kind of company. Like,
yeah, flashing
like a roofing.
Big.
Yep. Because my last name's Rains, right?
Be there
like,
you
there's
go.
Just a lot of good stuff there right. With like roofs and gutters.
Yeah, you blew it, man.
What was I
just
thinking?
Don't ask Adam
should've
to say that.
Should have got in the gutter flashing and waterproofing business.
Yeah, I'm Rains waterproofing.
Here's the thing. My wife, Ashley, used to work at a hospital in Indianapolis, and there was a doctor that she worked with that was not a urologist.
Yeah.
But his name was Dr. Tinkle, and we were like, man.
That guy blew it.
You blew
Dr.
it.
Dr. Tinkle.
Yeah. Anybody named Dr. Ovaries definitely knows what they should be. But Dr. Tinkle, come on, that's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What
were
you doing, man?
I just got a radio call that there's pizza at the production office.
All right. Well, I mean, it's...
You have 15 minutes. Let's do it. I'm going to go get some pizza.
Yeah.
Speaking of Slip Angle, the last episode with, not the most recent, but like maybe the one before that was Zach and Pete
in
Heartland Park. What I was laughing
I
my
forgot what
ass.
We
so
about that.
Let me tell
that
you a
hilarious.
Bit of a story about
I love Zach
that,
LaVoy.
Yeah, Zach is a character, man.
He's so great.
So I had to edit properly at least 5 minutes out of the show.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was content that they didn't want to talk about.
That was recorded.
It was recorded, and they were like, hey, man, can you, like, nix that stuff, please?
Yeah.
At the beginning of the show, there was a list of topics not to talk about. And
you talked about everything.
We ended up talking about those things, and they were like, hey, can you get rid of that stuff?
Those dudes live dangerously, man. That's a weird life.
I already got a text message about going to the casino today.
Today? Which one are they going to? Probably down by the border there.
Maybe.
That's the closest one.
Michigan City?
Yeah, down in Michigan City there.
I think Zach and Pete are a wonderful
awesome.
Combination.
Oh, actually, you can probably
absolutely
go to Gun
awesome.
Lake off 131. That's probably actually the closest.
Yeah.
And
I've known Zach for a while. He's a super good dude. And he bought us a really, we raced an endurance race together at Daytona. And I think, and Zach, I apologize if I had this wrong, but I'm pretty sure he missed a shift and money shifted the motor. Which wasn't his fault. It was the third time that it had been done. The bushings on the transmission were all shot.
Right.
Like 300,000 miles. An E36 out of a junkyard
just
with
worn out
290,000 miles on it. Yeah, just worn out. So
go
like
figure.
You would load into a corner and the whole shift pattern would move.
The engine's turned this way and the shifter.
Yep.
Yeah, third you'd feels go, like fifth or
oh yeah.
Fifth feels like second.
Absolutely. You'd go third to fourth, third to second.
Yeah.
Right? And he did that, and then he went and bought us. He's allergic to seafood, but he took us to the Chart House in Daytona, which is a seafood place. And
he's
bought us all like
it?
He's allergic to all shellfish. And so we ate outside where he didn't have to come in contact with it, but he knew the rest of us would love it. because he felt so bad about it.
Yeah.
And he's a really good person.
So he seems like the most fun dude too.
Yeah.
Well, I can't talk about you and talk about Zach without thinking about Barber. You told me via text message yesterday that you've got a plan for how to get us to Barber.
I've been thinking about
it a lot. Can you tell your plan on the show?
Yeah, I don't know. So I was texting with another friend of mine today who runs a time attack series in Texas called Apex Lap Battle.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys have heard of them.
I have not.
It's a HPD and a small time attack group.
Gotcha.
But they want to come to Barber as well. So I went and did like an Apex Pro data review session with them back in May and drove a guy's Camaro, an Apex Pro customer's car, and we did like a classroom session and stuff. And a bunch of their guys, after talking to me and talking to some of their guys who've been to Barber before, were like, oh, we're going to do like a, you know, flyaway event kind of deal. You know, it's really far for us, but we'd love to just,
it's probably,
you know,
not that far, but it's far.
Yeah, it's like 12 hours for them, 10, 12 hours
from
Dallas.
Close for Good Life.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, Gingerman now is like properly 10, like 7 hours.
Seven, yeah.
In a bus, it's a long haul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a drive.
But he's I don't know. I'm thinking if we throw him into the fray and say, hey, what if we put together rent a session for the weekend to bring his guys, run his time attack series, or even combine, well, however it works, doesn't really matter. But let him start bombarding Barber about dates as well as his organization, Apex HPDE. It has a totally different vibe, different look to it. It's a HPDE group.
Yeah, I would love to do like a simple event.
And then we
like grow into it too.
Yeah, I don't necessarily.
We get in the door somehow like that.
I think, having been to Barber, it would be an extraordinary place to do a festival if the grounds would accommodate.
Yeah, that's the problem. Is like a festival impact fee at a place like that might be expensive,
but
just for the grounds.
I think that the driving at Barber is awesome. Yeah. Now, I've heard that Barber is a spectacular place to drive, but the racing itself is less fun. Can you?
GLTC would be good.
You probably think?
Better
pace,
than NCM.
A good pace for that. Yeah.
NCM is a hard place to race.
Yeah,
easier to race
a lot
than
of turns,
NCM.
Yeah.
You know, less dangerous as well.
Have you ever been to Lime Rock?
I have been to Lime Rock.
You have? What do you think of Lime Rock?
Lime Rock's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's a very
really
unique
fun.
Track. Yeah.
So I went to Lime Rock the other day. We flew out to, and I picked up a crappy fit at the airport. Flew out to New Jersey, went to NJMP. None of this is like secret, but we're trying to do an East Coast tour kind of for Good Life next year. And we don't know what any of these events will be, but STP Euro has, you know, they have a desire for us to be in the East Coast as well. And there's a huge track scene out there. I mean, it's enormous. And then we went to STP Euro on Wednesday, had a big long meeting at some of the best pizza I've ever had from New Haven Pizza. It was amazing.
Where did you go?
Did you go to Mystic?
We were eating at FCP Hero, but they brought in pizza from New Haven.
Okay.
And it was so good.
Did you get Sally's?
No, it was New Haven Pizza.
Well, I know, but there are multiple restaurants in New Haven.
I have no idea. I didn't buy it. They bought it.
It's just one.
But they brought a ton of pizzas, and it was delicious pizza, which I didn't expect. But, I mean, I should have expected. They make everything good out there. But and then we went to so Michael from FCP Hero, who's right over there. He's one of their drivers, and he's their like lead marketing guy. We rode up with him to Lime Rock, which is in the most incredibly beautiful place I've ever seen.
Absolutely.
It's
stunning.
Unbelievable.
The little, like, you know, 18th century churches,
it's
nuts. Like architecture.
It's crazy beautiful.
So cool.
It's like one of the prettiest places I've ever seen. Like, it was like phenomenal. And like all the houses are from like 1752 and 1786, and they're enormous.
It's very cool.
Really big lots. Like, the roads are incredible. It was one of the prettiest places I've ever been. And then we pull into this racetrack, and it was like, and there's a lot of parking there. You can put a lot of people at Lime Rock, but it's this tiny place, and it's built like into valleys, and there's hills all over it. And this short track, it's like, what, 1.5 miles?
Yeah.
Real fast, like proper fast.
High average speed.
Real high average speed. Super pretty.
One left turn as well.
Yeah, like one left turn, bunch of rights, like jump. Like a jump in like a IMSA GS car. It gets in the air.
Yeah.
Like crazy fast.
The fast cars have to run the chicane because the jump is too significant.
Yeah, the actual prototypes, like, they have to slow down or else they would just... Yeah, it's crazy how fast the jump is. And so we walk into a meeting because we're going to meet, you know, the management and we didn't know who the management was because I heard it just got sold, right? And it turns out we walk in, and the dudes are shaking our hands. It was me and Chris and Michael and Josh, one of our sales guys. And in the management, it's this dude, Charlie. And then I meet this dude, Steven. And Steven knows Gary. He got into IMSA at the same time as Gary.
Cool.
And same age, you know. The other guy, he's like, "Hi, I'm Skip." And I was like, "No shit."
Yeah, Skip Barber.
Yeah, we were meeting with Skip Barber. And we were talking for an hour. They were just like asking us like what grid life is, like all about it and stuff. And then it was one of the more surreal moments of my life. Skip Barber, like we're talking about GLTC all of a sudden. And Skip Barber is just like staring at me, and I'm giving him like the elevator pitch of GLTC, like single class, you know, 12.5 to 1 power to weight ratio, roughly. You know, we got a bunch of modifiers. You got aero, you get to be this. You get Hoosiers versus street tires, you're heavier versus lighter. Street tires are narrower. The biggest thing we do is we do a bunch of short sprint races every weekend. And his eyes like pop open, and he's like, "I've been telling people to do that for 50 years.
Somebody finally listened.
And you finally did it." And it was, and then he was like, "That sounds so good." Like they were like so into it. It made my year to like hear like one of the more legendary American drivers of all time, who like probably taught what, thousands of drivers to drive.
Oh, at least
he pretty much defined the curriculum of how you learn. Like before Skip Barber, people didn't think you could learn how to drive.
They like went to a racing school. Yeah. And the guys that like naturally knew how to do it, like instinctively, because they were racing farm tractors, like or whatever.
Right.
Like those are the ones that excelled.
And he was actually like, "Oh, you can teach people this.
Probably figure out how to teach them." Yeah. And like his first F1 race start was like 71 at Monaco. Like he's done everything.
Yeah, he's raced in Formula One.
Crazy.
That's cool.
It was bizarre to talk about GLTC with Skip Barber, and like his eyes like popped open, and so we're sending him like links to watch video, and he's like, "This is amazing." It was so cool, dude. But yeah, I want to go to these cool tracks, man. I want to go to Lime Rock. I want to go to Barber.
Lime Rock's cool.
I'm excited about the next couple of years. It energized me. Because like a year like this will burn you out.
It's a slog,
for sure.
We just got back from
Heartland.
We're
not Bill Griffin, but it's hard. I mean, we're not
a
racetrack.
Nobody's Bill Griffin.
Hours.
Yeah.
12 out of 24 hours.
I think it'd probably be a little different if you weren't also trying to maintain a day job.
Well, yeah, that's part of the problem. But even still, like, I'm just like sick of being away from the family, and I'm sick of the, like, even with like a series like Grid Life, which has pretty good like family vibes, you know, like Time Attack buddies all get along pretty well. GLTC generally gets along pretty well. There's still like so many personalities and like feuds and politics, and like it's just like it's a bunch.
Anytime you get people together,
yeah, racers especially. Yeah. Well, racers are headstrong
for sure.
Strong ego, like
emotional.
No,
they're all animals. All of them.
Yeah. I'm like the worst racer because like I don't have that stuff. But I'm in charge of it, really. Like, I don't feel like I have like a strong ego. I feel like I hate myself a lot, but like for some reason it like sort of works, and it's really like, to me, it like weighs on me heavily, like balancing all the personalities.
Well, I think you said it. We've not said it on the show before, but I think you've said it to me before that like because the retention in Time Attack and in GLTC is so high. I mean, the retention rate is insane.
Yeah, it's in the 90s typically.
It's kind of like going to a family reunion
over and over and over
over and over and over throughout the year. And like sometimes your uncle's going to get drunk and puke. Yeah. Like
it's bound to happen.
It's just a thing that happens.
Yeah. That's what he does.
Yeah. And freaking so
Uncle
like
Phil, man.
Yeah. Every time showing up without his pants.
So like, I think that's part of the challenge making sure that like the individual customer experience
looks different than last time.
Stays consistently good.
Yeah, it just feels like
everybody has their moment.
Yeah, it feels like you're spinning all these plates, and if one of them drops, sometimes the whole weekend like feels weird. And we've been balancing them pretty well. Like Mid Ohio, like the vibes were insane at Mid Ohio. It was so good.
That was awesome event.
Really, really good event. We've had a once in a while, you get a clunker, but even a clunker.
And
is a pretty good weekend.
I think Heartland was a fantastic.
Oh, that weekend that was so fun.
Everything about that track.
The
is
track
cool.
was so fun,
and the facility is amazing.
That was the first time you were there, right?
Yeah, Bill's been telling me.
But I do
I've
feel
been
like
talking it up.
It's so fun.
it was a great time.
I do feel like each event, especially when you go to a new track, it's like the tone and the vibe hasn't been set yet. Like right. everyone knows almost how to act when they go to Mid-Ohio.
Here's what,
you know, here's what we expect. This is what this event is right. about. Anytime you go to a new place, you know, you can fall on your like your familiar right. Speech, but like I think each event has a little bit of a personality.
When we went in the driver's meeting, when I asked if people had been to Heartland, it was like five people put their hands up, and I was like, "Oh, great!" I'm like, nobody had even been on the racetrack.
But
before.
At the same time, like at the end of the weekend,
they
everyone was
loved
like,
it.
"Man, this is amazing!"
The track, dude, you didn't drive it, did you?
I did not.
It was hilariously fun. I drove Carson's.
Was it as Carson fun as Shenandoah at some point?
Dude, it was so fun. It might be my favorite track.
Moss told me the same.
Yeah, it might be my, like, I love the flow of Mid-Ohio. I enjoyed being at Gingerman because it's like being my backyard almost, you know, like we've been here so many times, probably our 100th time we've ever rented it. Dude, it was, it almost had like the flow in some sections of AMP. Like pretty fun, but so fast, like so
fast,
real fast, and like the there's a couple of slow turns, but I mean the chicane was like it was basically a backwards version of the chicane going into the keyhole at Mid-Ohio, pretty similar to the bus stop at Daytona almost in pace, like you're flying, it was real proper fun.
Yeah, really, you're up on two wheels going through there.
Really
if
fun.
You're
like it was yeah, even. Like even in like an automatic G35 on like blown out springs and like
badass
RT615s,
yeah,
it was properly fun, dude.
So go to the car show after that,
dude. It was so good.
I think yeah. We talked a little bit
the
about how far everywhere. Away it felt. It's like not. It's not.
No,
that
it was
far.
Only like 8 or 9 hours, right?
Yeah,
it wasn't that bad.
Kansas City's a pretty major. Geographic, like, you know, demographic
so
area.
I traveled. And a big population center. Aaron Lichty drove my bus and towed his race car behind.
Yeah.
While I worked from the passenger seat, which was awesome, by the way.
Yeah.
We made such good time because we drove late into the night.
Right.
That we stopped in Kansas City at about 10 o'clock a.m. Yeah. After some morning drive, and waited for the best rated barbecue restaurant in the city to open up. At 11, and Aaron and I were both like, is there going to be a line for barbecue at 11 o'clock on a Thursday?
Yeah.
Yep.
There was.
So like,
yeah,
we walked
Kansas
over
City
there
barbecue,
like 11:04 and there was a line already and it was solidly good.
I feel like you and Aaron, that's a troublesome crowd.
Yeah. That might
you know,
be
hanging
I might
out
get
together.
Into some things,
they
man.
Get into some really
I think
nice
spent
stuff.
Some money on whiskey too.
Yeah.
there was some really expensive whiskey
yes,
consumed
there was.
In Kansas
had,
in my bus.
I had yeah. some very expensive whiskey. No, that was in
no, was, yeah, in that Kansas, was at Kansas. So, yeah. But there's probably only one person that's a like annoyingly snobbish or foodie mm-hmm. as me. And like Aaron is my soulmate in that respect.
Yeah, you're pretty similar. Kind of knew that was a match made in heaven.
So like...
serious bromance.
Yeah. A little.
They went out for dinner the other night.
We did do that. Yeah. Aaron actually cooked for me. That's what
oh,
happened.
Oh, man.
Wow, that is serious.
He had...
did you make it happen after that?
Is now redneck bolognese.
How did I do?
Okay.
Talking about GLTC. That's how those
yeah,
conversations
they literally
go.
Yeah. talked about racing the entire time.
Over some bolognese.
Yeah. Not motorhomes?
Man.
He is my... he's my primary mechanic. If I'm going to pay someone to do work, it might as well be him.
Yeah.
Because like, I can pay a service center, but like
they do a good job.
Yeah, it's fine.
They do a good job.
We're gonna do shocks and right height valves and all kinds of stuff on my bus.
Just pull it into the parking lot on a Saturday.
Right.
This thing would
right,
not fit in their shop at all.
It wouldn't go inside,
no.
But it goes in the driveway.
It definitely fits in the parking lot.
So that's fine.
Yeah, definitely fits in the parking lot. Yeah.
So it's been 33 minutes. Ashley's not here yet. I worry that if I eat dinner and she's not here,
you're gonna be mad.
She's going to be mad.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
like, I hope there's pizza when she gets here. I hope she gets here real
cross
soon.
Cross your fingers, man. I want to get up there and have a piece because there probably won't be much left. There's
right.
a bunch of hungry dudes on the stage over there.
Yeah, that's true.
Could miss an opportunity. Yeah. Well, I'm excited to be here, guys.
Well, so Andrew Rance is racing GLTC in the Bill Griffin Mobile. Bill, what are you
yep.
going to do? Just support Andrew?
I'm going to help you out.
Yeah. Are you going to drive
here for
anything?
You, Adam.
What's that?
You going to drive anything?
We'll see.
We got some room in HPD if you want to get some laps in.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do it.
We'll see. He'll no be biggie. I'm just, yeah. It's just cool to be here and
I love
support Andrew and give him the opportunity and see him in the car and hang out. And
hey, Ashley?
I'm fired up.
Perfect. Yeah.
Good time.
Now we can go eat pizza.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks to Bill for the opportunity.
ApexTrackCoach.com. That's Andrew Rains. We got to thank FCP Euro. All the parts.
Gen 2 units available for order.
Yep.
Yes, they are. Expected to ship probably mid-October.
And a few of them have sold, right? You've had a couple of orders go out.
We've had two production runs that have sold out completely, and we're on our third. But this whole global economic situation with silicon chips is a problem. But we have some with us this weekend.
I would like to get my hands on one, but I'm trying to resolve my I-never-have-a-car-at-the-track situation.
Yeah,
I brought my dolly.
You did.
I'm buying a fit from Kevin.
You're for sure buying this?
From Kevin Head?
No. From Kevin.
Okay.
And our timing and scoring guy.
Our timing and scoring guy.
I was like, Kevin's not selling this. Kevin.
It's a good fit.
But it's $4,000. I don't know anything about it.
I drove it at NOLA. It's a great car.
It's a great car?
You don't need to know anything about a fit before you buy it.
It felt great at NOLA in the rain. I thought it was great.
So I'm going to buy a fit, and then I'm going to try and get the Civic to be a little bit more
fun track car.
Ready to take to the track. I'm going to keep it in the garage. It'll probably just keep the tires on it, keep the pads on it, and like when I want to go, just throw it on the dolly and drive.
Or take those spirited roads in Kentucky, right?
So the fit's the street car, the Civic's the track car.
My commute's 40 to 45 miles a day.
That's a long commute.
I just drive a fit.
Yeah.
Whatever.
You need a fit.
Well, your wife is here. We should probably get off
the show. Let's go eat pizza.
Or if there's pizza.
If there is pizza. If not,
it's just hot and ready. It's not like we're missing out on like something.
But they are hot and ready.
They might be. Well, hot and used to be ready.
Well,
hot and empties is what they're probably going to be when
we
get over there.
We want to thank all the patrons, and I'll be mailing you some t-shirts when I get back home.
Got to thank the FCP Euro guys. They just pulled up.
And Apex Pro.
Yeah, man.
Man, lots of thanks on this podcast.
Always. And the front and the back, dude.
You guys are the best.
Bill, I appreciate you coming. You can help with parking. Don't worry.
Whatever you need.
You're not the only parking guy. Don't worry.
That's fine.
Yeah. You don't want to be the only parking
guy. No, there's
just give me a whistle.
A whole team. Do you remember at Speed Ring a couple of years ago when the event kind of blew up? It was...
They have parking for 12 cars there.
Yeah. And like, park the parking guy was like, walk the semi-truck to exactly where you wanted to park and then walk back and do it again.
That was a busy one. It was almost like Alpine this year. We had me... Cone and John Raymond, we each had our own golf cart, and we parked cars from noon until 1 a.m. It was 13 hours of placing vehicles.
Good.
And like,
grief.
No, move 4 inches over so we can get one more guy in the end. And we couldn't have parked two more trucks and trailers there. It was so full.
Did you have a whistle?
We had lots of whistles.
Well, I mean, like, what's
that's what does it?
The only choice after that, given that the bowl was filled,
less cars.
You have to park people outside.
Oh yeah, or just sell less passes. So, yeah,
hate to do that.
Yeah, hate to do that, man.
You know, the last time we recorded a slip angle together, I think was PRI in 2017.
No,
I think so.
Really?
Yeah,
I think I've been.
Is that accurate?
That was the launch of the Apex Pro.
Yeah, that was like year one or two.
Story on TrackTuned.
Yeah,
that
I remember
goes
that.
With that podcast.
Austin, you and Austin
I
were at our
I
booth.
Did one via phone with you. Maybe not.
Maybe though. We have. I think we've like attempted to record over the phone.
Might just be because I've watched you do a bunch of recorded things on the internet.
Maybe so.
Construing things.
I've been
head.
Thinking about that this whole time. I was like, was that really?
It might have been the first and only time.
Yeah. Austin and I talked about when I ran into him in Opelika, Alabama, of all places.
Yeah. I was intrigued by the Gen 1 unit, and it's on my dash right now. So
got it.
I dig it. It's the lights are cool. I trust. I don't have an. Gotta have some lights. I still don't do much with the data.
Don't look outside.
So here, yeah, here. So I you're, make you're a
only. Yeah, you're only. You're only touching the surface.
Analog version.
My. Yeah.
Look at that, Ashley. She's staring out for pizza, dude.
My absolute favorite part about the Apex Pro is the app and the ease at which you can analyze data.
Unless you don't have an iPhone.
There are other.
This is true.
There are other the man speaks the truth. On the market.
Yeah.
And I can say after spending time with them, the only way they would be less user-friendly is if they kicked you in the nuts when they started up.
I've I've looked over some stuff with Scott Robertson as he like comes off track and looks at his. It's really impressive. I just look at the lights.
We like to make it simple. Yeah. But I'll throw a plug in there while we're here, because we actually, I don't know if you've been on the internet today, but we're hiring a full stack app developer for our engineering services business. So we do like IoT, basically like imagine Apex Pro, but it's for a yacht or a RV or like a sensor that measures something, and someone comes to us and says, we have this great idea, we need to take this product to market, and we don't know how to get it built. Right. We are like, oh, well, we've designed this Apex Pro device, we've designed these other products
we've
that are kind of like it.
Two-thirds of your work.
We'll do it for you. And so now we're hiring an app developer to mainly support that end of the business, but part of that job would be take our iOS app, turn it into a start over with our Android app. And then now we actually changed all of our back-end tools back in April when we launched the Gen 2, and we changed the whole app. Now we can port all the data over between iOS and Android, whereas before we had a totally different back-end system. So if you're listening to this and you're like, hey, I'm an app developer, shoot me a message or get in touch with Apex Pro because we want to talk to you.
Were just talking about how amazing the weather was planned.
Yeah, now it's sunny.
This rain is not forecasted.
No, it's sunny and raining at the same time. So whatever. Probably because Matt Williams went here. He just pulled up. We'll blame it on him. So.
Matt's fault.
All right. Well,
I think we did another show. That's
two. Two shows on a Wednesday.
We got to get some bankers in because like this is the time to record.
Got to carry us all
stuff.
The way to Road America, man. A couple weeks off.
Road America's like far away.
It's like 3 weeks away. We're almost there, man. We're almost done.
I think it's time for pizza.
Slip Angle was created by Austin Cabot and Adam Jabay, co-hosted by Derek Yarbrough, and production by Abram Schmucker, who mixes all of our terrible audio. If you like the show, please rate us and review us on iTunes, and come and find us in the pits at a grid line to say hello.